بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last session, we have discussed about how the negotiation process has started between the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu and Talha and Zubair radiallahu anhuma. All the three are among the 10 blessed companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about whom the Prophet had given good tidings of entering the paradise in the worldly lives, in their worldly lives. So we should keep note of this, that the three of them are all 10 among the 10 blessed companions, the from Ashara Mubashara, the ones who have been given good tidings of to enter paradise in their worldly lives. This good tidings were given. So they are the most fortunate among all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being among the 10 Ashara Mubashara, or the 10 blessed companions. So and all three were actually trying their best to come to the common consent and to come to the common action and to consolidate the caliphate itself. But they had, because of the delay in qisas, had given has instilled in their hearts, in their mind, some doubts about the caliph radiallahu anhu. As I referred before, that the caliph radiallahu anhu was not in a position to instantly take the qisas from the assassins of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, for the reason that the assassins, the names of the assassins were itself not exactly known by Naila radiallahu anha, who was the eyewitness, or who has seen the ones who had struck the Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu while she was trying to defend her husband on the way, where she received also injuries fingers were also cut off. So and none was there in the room to become the eyewitness, because the other guards who were positioned were outside at the door, or they were on the roof. By the time they rushed to the room, the assassins had fled the spot. So therefore, Naila radiallahu anha was only the eyewitness, and when she was asked about the names of the assassins, she could not give the names of the assassins, because she was not knowing them. She was a house lady, so she was not having the any information about the names of these assassins, although she could only recognize them by their physical appearance if they are produced to her. But who and how to produce was in fact was not any way feasible. So therefore there was somehow problems in execution of the qisas, for the reason that there was no definite witness available to ascertain that issue of qisas instantly. So therefore it was delayed for certain time. For another reason, and why the caliph could not give the full attention towards probe into the matter and towards checking out the assassins by other means, for the reason that the riots were still in present in Medina, and they were still were not ready to leave Medina, although the caliph Ali radiallahu had given them his order to leave Medina to their respective places of Kufa, Basra and Egypt. But yet they did not obey the caliph's order. So the caliph's position was not still consolidated as such so far, and his whole administrative system was still to get consolidated on the firm footing. So he was at the priority to strengthen the caliphate, to strengthen the administrative system, to strengthen the whole governance of the whole caliphate. So for that reason, which was more important and which was to be said prior to this issue, so these things The other challenges had also caused delay in the qisas. So that's, and this delay in the qisas has instilled some doubts in the minds of Talha radiallahu anhu, Zubair radiallahu anhu, and Aisha radiallahu anha. And for that reason, they had marched from Makkah straight away to Basra, thinking that they will themselves try to take revenge, try to take retaliation, try to take qisas of the blood of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And in the wake of this intention, which they had the right to claim for the retaliation and claim for the qisas for the caliph of Islam, that had this right, they had reserved this right. The more patience was required on their part until Ali radiallahu could have finished his other jobs to take that time for full attention towards this issue or this matter as well subsequently. But since they were these companions were somehow uncertain about the caliph's position, also caused some kind of further trouble. And another factor should also be kept in mind is that the rioters who were now in Medina had also joined the force of Ali radiallahu anhu. So their joining the force of Ali radiallahu anhu had also instilled doubts in the minds of the companions as well as in the minds of the Syrians. Ali radiallahu anhu did not invite anyone from the rioters to join his force. Rather, he had ordered them to leave Medina, yet they did not leave Medina, and they joined the force of Ali radiallahu anhu. So this joining of their to the force of Ali radiallahu anhu also caused some doubts in the minds of the companions who were there in Basra and as well as the ones who were there in Syria. So overall, the scenario or the situation was not in any way favoring or in any way leading towards the consolidation of the caliphate, which was the top priority of the caliph Ali radiallahu anhu, to strengthen his caliphate, to strengthen his office, to strengthen his governors, and to first of all seek recognition from all the caliphate of his office. And that is the reason that he had dispatched a number of governors to the territories where they have assumed their governorship, and one province which was only left, that was Syria, whose governor was not ready to recognize the caliph, and he had also replied with the empty envelope. That also caused caused anger in Ali radiallahu anhu for this kind of response on the part of the Syrian governor Muawiyah. So that's the thing which actually had led towards further deterioration of the situation, and that's the reason why Ali radiallahu anhu then prepared to march towards Syria to seek recognition from the governor, or to replace him with another officer who would recognize his caliphate, so that the caliphate could be first established. Could be first set on the firm footing in consolidated manners, so that their threats could be eliminated from all sides of the caliphate, and then the caliph could be able to take that take that matter of qisas to task, which he had set in his also mind, and he had also cursed the assassins of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. He himself was having this mind that he will take the revenge and qisas of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and he cursed them, and he has repeatedly said to Talha bin Zubair and to Zubair bin Awwam while they were in Medina that he will take necessary qisas once he is over with these challenges which are arising within Medina as well as without Medina, and that is the challenge of consolidation of the caliphate, which was a first and topmost priority and which was correct and the right course of the caliph of Islam, Ali radiallahu anhu. But on the other hand, companions had started harboring doubts in their mind about the caliph's position, which has led them to march from Makkah to Basra, which they had also captured now. And now they were thinking to manage, how to manage to take the revenge of the blood of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So this is the overall situation which has now come on the scene, from Makkah, a march from to Basra, number one, and number two, the presence of the rioters in Medina, number three, refusal of governor of Syria to recognize the caliph, and ultimately number four, the capture of Basra by the Meccan force, and then fifth development, that the caliph himself, his departure, ultimately his departure from Medina to Basra, and that was the last departure of the caliph, which could not bring the caliph back to Medina. And as Abdullah bin Salam, he had also said that, "O caliph, if you set off today from Medina, no other caliph will come, no other head of the Muslim will come again to Medina." So he tried to persuade the caliph Ali not to leave Medina, but the caliph had to leave Medina to meet the challenges which were arising in Syria, which had risen in Basra as well. So he had no way except to proceed on. So that's why this was all the force which had now set to depart from Medina towards Basra. And this time the people of Makkah has also supported Ali radiallahu anhu. Even the Badri's companion had also extended their support, and their presence was there among the force of Ali radiallahu anhu, which was set for departure to Basra. So this is something what was happening before the battles started among the Muslims. So the key issue is again to be emphasized is that the delay in qisas has caused some doubts in the minds of the companions, the mind of Zubair and Talha radiallahu anha anhuma, and Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of faithful Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Yet these doubts were ultimately, alhamdulillah, were removed from their minds by the counseling and wise counseling and wise explanation and clarification of Qaqar radiallahu anhu, who was sent by Ali radiallahu anhu to Basra, to these three great figures of Islam. And Qaqar radiallahu anhu was very much able to clarify the position of caliph and to explain the wisdom, and to realize them, and to make them understand the reason, and they and he was successful in bringing them to the view of the caliph radiallahu anhu, that at this point of time it was not wise to claim for the right of qisas. But this time the caliph is needed to be consolidated first, on the firm footing. This time establishment is required to be set on the firm footing, administrative system needs to be put on the firm footing, peace and order is required to be restored in the whole throughout the caliphate, and after that only the qisas could be resorted to, and this way the ultimate goal of yours can only be achieved. So when this counseling of Qaqar radiallahu anhu went ahead to the companion of Zubair, Talha, and the mother of faithful Aisha radiallahu anha, they were now moved after this all counseling of Qaqa radiallahu anhu, and then they said that we had in our mind that Ali radiallahu anhu had some soft corner for the rioters who had been behind the assassination of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So after listening all this from Qaqa radiallahu anhu, they were convinced that Ali radiallahu anhu was also having the same view of taking qisas of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, but with a certain procedure, and that is a procedure of first consult, step by step. He had said to move on or to proceed on. On the first step, he was said to consolidate the caliphate. He was said to seek the confidence of all the governors. He was said to first seek recognition of all the governors. He was said first to establish the administrative system on the right footing, on the firm footing. He was said first to consolidate the caliphate to the extent that there could not stand or there could not rise any other threat. So the state authority was needed to be established first. So for that reason, he was working upon that direction. That is the reason why he has sent letters to the governors, as well as he has sent his men also to different territories to take the administrative system of these different of different provinces and territories, so that the overall consolidation of the caliphate could be achieved. So when all the companions of Talha and Zubair and Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha were convinced and were given the clarification of the position of Ali radiallahu anhu, they also got agreed. Even Qaqa radiallahu anhu went saying in heart rending tone that you are the pillars of Islam, you are the key figures of Islam, if you are the beacon of Islam, so you for the sake of the Muslim consolidation of Muslim Ummah, you must go for peace with the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu to save the Muslim Ummah from bloodshed. Then he also kept on saying that although you have captured Basra, but have you been able to achieve your target of taking qisas of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu after the battle you engage yourself in with the governor of Basra, and after bloodshed between you and the force of the Basra, and then subsequently your capture of Basra, has this all development led you towards achieving your goals? So, and definitely not. And he also said that the one who was the target of yours, the actual assassin, whose name was Hurqus bin Zuhair, he said that he's still out, and he's still out of your clutches, and he's still away from your capture, and he has on his back 6,000 force, a very strong force, 6,000 men. So how could you be able to achieve your targets in this way? He said that first the administrative system is to be put on the track. First, the peace is required to be restored. First, the caliphate needs to be consolidated. He said, then only we could achieve the ultimate goal, which you or we also have in common, of taking the qisas to task and bringing the assassins to book, or to holding them accountable, or to executing the qisas, which is within the limits of Sharia prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his divine book. So this is how the Qaqa radiallahu anhu went on convincing and explaining and clarifying to the companions that although your all efforts from your march from Makkah to Basra, and your battle with the people, with the governor of Basra, and your subsequent capture of Basra, has all these events have not led you to to achieve your targets or to achieve your goal of taking qisas. Yet the main culprit is still away from your clutches. He is still having on his back a strong force of 6,000 troops, and you are no way in a position at the moment to face him. So you could not chase him as well. So the ultimate all endeavor went into vain. So all these things, and then he requested them to come to the peace with the caliph, recognize the caliph first, pledge the caliph and support the caliph, help the caliph in his task of consolidating the caliphate, so that your right, which your right is due. You have this right to claim for the blood, for the qisas of the Usman radiallahu anhu's blood. That is your right. So that your right could be also exercised in due course, and so that your goal could also be achieved when the caliph will be consolidated, or when the caliph will be strong enough to take that all the force of the rioters or other force to the book and to the accountability by having on his back whole caliphate, united whole caliphate in support, whole people of all the people of the caliphate in his confidence, and having faith in him. So that's what how the caliph can be able to achieve the ultimate goal, which you have also in your mind, as well as the caliph has also in his mind. He also cursed the assassins of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, as you have also cursed the assassin of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, the one who had unduly and assassinated the great caliph of Islam, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So this way, Qaqa radiallahu anhu had contributed significantly and marvelously by with his sincere efforts, with the depth of his sincerity, with the depth of his wisdom, with the depth of his endeavor. He had really achieved success in bringing peace between the two factions, or between the caliph and the companions, as Uzbayr, Talha, and mother of faithful Umul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So this how he had contributed very significantly, and that was how a bridge was made to reduce the gap and to curtail the gap and to bring closer the two groups to the extent that they once again get united on the common ground of consolidation of the caliphate, and then taking revenge of the blood of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So Qaqa radiallahu anhu, when he was at his counseling, found that he also assured them that he is actually interpreting the mind of Ali radiallahu anhu. He is spokesman of Ali radiallahu anhu. Basically, what he is speaking is not from his own side, that this is all impression, and this is all a reflection of Ali radiallahu anhu's mind, which he had in his position. That is only what is communicated to you, so that through this the companions remove their doubts from their minds, and they now got ready to come to the peace terms, and to come to forge unity and to bridge the gap, so that the Muslim Ummah could be saved from any bloodshed, could be saved from any split or dichotomy, or to be saved from any disunity. So he also maintained one thing very important, that if you go ahead with your plan of taking revenge on your own, so this will lead actually this will actually be beneficial, and this will be actually a favor for the assassins of the caliph, that they would be saved in this way when you will be engaging in fight within the Muslim communities. So, and so long as you are engaged with fight, they are saved and they are free to move. So better to unite together, so that the direction could be made towards the assassins of Ali radiallahu of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, by coming to the common ground, so that the target could be made the assassins and not the Muslim one another. And that if it is so that the Muslim are targeted to one another and one another, then the assassins will have this benefit, and they will get the strength by the internal dispute and fight between the Muslim factions. So he, Kaghar radiallahu anhu, successfully explained and clarified the caliph's position, which ultimately brought all the companions as well to the viewpoint of caliph radiallahu anhu. And this way they were now they showed their confidence in the caliph Ali radiallahu anhu. This is a very significant development. Now, after that, for the sake of their further satisfaction, a group of the people of Basra also accompanied Kaghar radiallahu anhu when he went back to join his group of Ali radiallahu anhu. So this group of the people of Basra, when they reached to the caliph's group, they inquired from the people of Kufa who had come to join the caliph's group, and they inquired. So they found that the people of Kufa had also come for the peace efforts, and they also wanted peace, and they also wanted a restoration of order, not fight, not killing. So they also got over satisfaction by the instance of the people of Kufa when they gave while they were in the company of the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu and his force. So this is how a very significant development was made in this regard, in this direction of peacemaking efforts. That is what we have done in our talk endeavor for mediation. So this endeavor for mediation was, alhamdulillah, was touching its success, and was materialized and was on the right direction. Now, when this mediation was successful, and the people and the both of the groups were coming closer, and they were coming to common grounds, and they were understanding each other, and they were now coming to the peace terms. So this mischief mongers, they grew conscious and they grew anxious and they grew worried that were now the target is now we, and the both of the groups now have set to take the qisas from the assassins of Ali, Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and Ali radiallahu anhu has also joined them in this position, and they are also now ready to join the force of Ali radiallahu anhu together. So they were now quite anxious. The group had now held consultation, an emergency consultation, in which they also said that after this peace talks and peace endeavor, Ali radiallahu anhu had ordered them to keep separate from the force of Ali radiallahu anhu while they were enter Basra. So this is how alarming situation was now posed to the mischief mongers, that they were now feeling that they are now at the target, and they are now the next to be taken to the books, or to be taken to the accountability for the on account of their assassination of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, the third caliph of Islam, may Allah bless him and elevate his ranking. So when this group observed and found that the group that the Muslim forces are joining together on one instance and on one position, so they try to start planning how to break up this unity and how to put hurdles into this peace negotiation, or how to cause trouble to stop this peace negotiation or peace documentation or peace process. So they said and they ultimately concluded that the battle can only stop them from this peace process. And once the battle started between, once the battle broke out between the two forces, it, we are saved and we are free from any accountability or any kind of justice that is posed to us now from the both of the groups. So this was a conclusion of their consultation of the mischief mongers or the mischief making, that that the battle, it can only lead to save us from the accountability, and a battle should break out between these two forces who are now set for peace process, or who are set for peace negotiation and for unity once again after their negotiation, which has been very much successful on both of the parts. We were discussing about the peace process that was initiated by the efforts of the both forces, and that was bridged by the companion Qaqa radiallahu anhu, who had played a very significant role. Qaqa radiallahu anhu, the spokesman of Ali radiallahu anhu, who had convinced companion Talha Zubair and the mother of faithful Aisha radiallahu anha, and who has clarified, explained the caliph's position, that he himself was in fact having the mind of taking the revenge, retaliation, qisas of the blood of the caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Once he is done with the challenges he has posed to him from different sides, particularly the challenge of the governor of Syria, the challenge of the rioters, their presence in Medina, and now they have still their presence along in his company. So still he is in the grip of the problems, which he needs to be first get rid of them, and then he will be resorting to the issue of qisas, and he will do the needful within the limits of Sharia as well. So this is how this was the this was what the counseling and clarification and explanation of Qaqa radiallahu anhu was to the companion Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdul Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu anhu, and Sayyida Ummul Mu'mineen, mother of the faithful, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So this is how the significant development was made in the wake of the efforts of peace process, and there was alhamdulillah successful. Now after this significant development, now the mischief mongers, they started feeling anxious about their now the position, and now they started feeling now that they are going to be target of the common force of Ali radiallahu anhu and the companions Zubair and Talha radiallahu anhu. So for the reason that Ali radiallahu anhu was also of the mind of qisas, as well as the other companion were also of the mind of qisas, so now when they will get together, they will unite together, they will ultimately come to the cause, come to the issue of qisas, and this way we will be targeted as being the as being behind the assassination of the caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. They also grew anxious when the order was issued from the caliph's end for this mischiefmongers to keep separate from the force of from the caliph's force while their entry into the city of Basra. So this is how they were again made alert from the caliph side that the caliph's come, they may not be able to anyway or anymore to have the caliph's company or to join the caliph's force hiddenly. Rather, they have been given orders clearly to stay away from the caliph's force from now. This is another significant development that had caused them worries, and they have now started thinking and pondering over the over their safety and their protection. And their protection they only found in one way, and that was to cause battle between the Islamic groups, between the Islamic forces, so that once they are engaged into the battles between them, the rebels and the rioters will be saved, and they will be free from this from their clutches and from their accountability, which was coming to them by their peace agreement and by their unity. So the ultimate conclusion of this meeting of the mischief mongers was that to somehow create trouble in between the Islamic forces who had encamped outside the city of Basra. This was their ultimate agreement and conclusion upon which they had reached. Now, after this, on the one hand, this they had considered and they had agreed. On the other hand, Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu, after obtaining peace from the companions Zubair, Talha, and after making them of the view of the caliph through his spokesman Qasim radiallahu anhu, had now given order to his force to march to Basra, towards Basra now. So now the caliph force in Basra began their march to Basra after obtaining the confidence of the companions who were there in Basra through the efforts of Taqa radiallahu anhu, who had played a very significant role in bridging the gap between the two Islamic groups. After that, now the caliph radiallahu anhu had now reached to the borders of Basra, where he had encamped, and now the second group of the Islamic nation, and that was Talha, Zubair, and Sayyid Aisha radiallahu anhum ajma'in was also encamped across the group of Ali radiallahu anhu. So now the further talks now started to try to bring peace into practice, or to try to bring peace into black and white in document, so that ultimately the process of peace could be finalized, and this way the Islamic force could go come united once again and to come to the task which was ahead to the Islamic force together. Now, a very significant event also we can see here, which really clarified the position again by the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu himself. Before that, it was Qaqa radiallahu anhu who clarified the situation and the position of the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu. Now it was the Caliph who was posed some questions by a person who asked the questions, a few questions to the Caliph radiallahu anhu, and the Caliph responded them adequately, which gave us guidance what was the actual position of the Caliph and what was his mind about this all development which was happening there. So the man asked the Caliph radiallahu anhu that, why have you come here? Why have you come here to Basra? So the caliph replied that I have come, I am here to curb disturbances and to bring peace among the people. Then the man questioned again that, okay, if you fail to bring peace to the people of Basra, then what would you do? If they do not come to, if they do not allow you to bring peace, what will you do? So the caliph said that I will leave them to their state of affairs. Then he, the question third, he posed that if they do not leave you, then the caliph said that we will only defend ourselves. So these three questions and three answers really clarify the caliph's position that he was in no mind to wage any battle with the people of Basra or with anyone from the Muslim community. That's what he said, that I have come here only to curb disturbance and to bring peace, not to wage a battle. This was the clarity, and with unequivocal words he spoke. There is no any confusion in his now position, which he has clarified himself that he has come to Basra for curbing the disturbance and to bring peace to the people. Yet he was posed another question, that if you try to, although you try to bring peace, but if the people of Basra do not like peace from your end, then what would you do? He said that I will leave them to their state of affairs. That is, again, I will not go for battle or for aggression. Number three, he said, if they do not allow you to move and they do not leave you, then he said, what will you do? He said, our strategy will be only to defend ourselves and not beyond that. This was the dialogue which took place between the caliph and a man. Similarly, another man came to the caliph and he also posed a few questions. For example, he said that Talha bin Zubair رضي الله عنه and Zubair bin Awam رضي الله عنه had revolted to seek pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by claiming the qisas. So do you think, in your opinion, that they have this right to support the qisas of the brother Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu? The caliph said, yes, they have the right to support the qisas of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Similarly, he said, another question he posed to the caliph radiallahu anhu, said that what is the reason that you have delayed the qisas? Why not qisas has been taken so far? So he asked the question that what is the reason behind the delay in qisas? So the caliph replied that when the things become suspicious, so one has to be cautious to take a step to the settlement of the issue. So for that reason, I have still to take into consideration the factors which can ultimately lead to the qisas. So that's the reply of the caliph, was that due to the suspicion and doubts over the culprit, that who is the real culprit, who is the actual perpetrator and who is the actual criminal, because of the doubts and suspicion, he said the qisas has been delayed so far. There was another question which was again put to him, that was, in case a battle breaks out, what do you say about the ones who will fight from both sides? The caliph said that those fallen martyrs from both sides will go to heaven. That means the caliph was clear in his position that both of the forces are the forces of believers. Both are operating in good faith. Both are operating for the sake of their getting qisas of their caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and both of the forces have this right to claim the qisas. So that means there was no point of difference in the position of the caliph radiallahu anhu with other companions, and he had even expressed his stance that even if the battle breaks out, yet the fighting troops from both sides, the fighting companions or the members from both sides will be fighting in the good in their good faith. There is no one in ill intention. Basically, there is no intention, ill intention from anyone in anyone's mind. Both are working. Both are working, and both are having the good faith in their mind and heart to take the qisas of the caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, which they have the right. Only the circumstances have developed so far in such a way that have hampered the caliph to go for the taking of qisas. Otherwise, the position of the companions is a right position, which according to Sharia they have right to support the matter of qisas as well as to claim for the right of qisas as warranted by the Sharia itself. So there is no any difference in the view of the caliph with other companions radiallahu anhu ajma'in. That is what a very significant point that needs to be noted, that the caliph had clarified his own position. The caliph has clarified that why he had come to Basra and what he has in his mind to do the next, and what is if in case he is unable to bring the peace, so he will leave the people back to India to their state of affairs, and he will not anyway force them to anyway. And similarly, in case he said that the rights of to claim qisas is their due right, as well as he said that the delay of the qisas was for the reason of suspicion and doubts. And similarly, he said that even in case despite all the peace process, if battle breaks out, yet the fighting force from both sides are, will, since they will fight in the good faith, so they will go to heaven. This is what the position of the caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu held in his talk with the men who had posed a few questions to him. After this conversation, since the both of the forces had encamped just across each other, now Talha and Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu came out of their camps, and from here Ali radiallahu anhu came out also from his camp, and Ali radiallahu anhu addressed Talha radiallahu anhu that you have brought an army against me, and you are my brother in faith. The caliph said that you have brought an army against me, whereas you are my brother in faith. We are brothers in faith. That is Islamic brotherhood. So we are brothers, and you know that that our blood is unlawful for each other. So how do you think, and how do you go for bringing a force against me, and how do you go for making a preparation to fight, and for this how do you go for this all positions, whereas knowing that we are brothers in Islam, we are brother in faith, and the blood of ours are unlawful to each other. So all this the caliph questioned Talha radiallahu anhu. So Talha radiallahu anhu replied that had you not been the part of the conspiracy which was hatched by the assassins of Usman of bin Affan radiallahu anhu, so the caliph replied that may Allah curse the assassins of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and he knows the best. That means that he was never having any soft corner for the assassins. Rather, he was not part of conspiracy or any support to the assassins. He himself cursed the assassin of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and Ali's curse is so effective. Let me tell you another event. Ali's curse, if Ali curses someone, that is so effective that once happened that one man was sitting in his company, and Ali radiallahu anhu was telling something. The man who was sitting in his company said that you are a liar. Ali radiallahu anhu cursed him, and his eyes and his blind and he got blind before leaving that company. of Ali radiallahu anhu. This was the effect of the curse of Ali radiallahu anhu, which he had done for the one who put the charge of, to Ali of being liar. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. This is Ali radiallahu anhu's effect. He is the caliph of Islam. He is not an ordinary man in any way. He is the most pious man of his time. He is the most blessed man of his time. He is the most fortunate man of the in the world, the time he was living. So now in this keeping in view this his excellence and his greatness, when we say that Ali radiallahu anhu cursed the assassins of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, that also clarified the position and the mind of Talha radiallahu anhu, that that Ali radiallahu anhu was no way hatching conspiracy with the assassins. So this is why how Talha bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, Talha's mind was now clarified, which he had doubts in his mind about the caliph's position, for the reason that the assassins had joined his force. So this also gave impression to the companion that he might also be part of the conspirators or the assassins. So he put the same question, but Ali radiallahu anhu replied, clarifying his position, cursing the assassins of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, so that. And he said that Allah knows the best. He knows it is knowledge that who has been conspirators. And this is why Allah, the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu, referred his case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that Allah knows, Allah Almighty knows everything, that is all in His knowledge. He knows that how far I am true and how far I am free from all these doubts and suspicions which have been posed to me, and how far I am above all these conspiracies which were committed and hatched by the assassins. So he referred to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one who knows each and everything. And then he cursed the assassins of Ali, of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, which also clarified his position that he was no way part of that wrongdoings. Ali radiallahu anhu reminded Talha one thing more, and that was that Talha had pledged his allegiance with Ali radiallahu anhu in Medina. So Ali radiallahu anhu reminded him of his pledge which he has made with the caliph Ali radiallahu anhu. So Talha replied that yes, that pledge was made on the condition of taking qisas of Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and secondly, and that pledge was under the swords of the assassins, or under the swords of the rioters. The sword was hanging over his head, and in that way, in that condition and circumstances, he had pledged allegiance. Now turning to the companion Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu reminded him that, oh Zubair, do you remember that the once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that you will fight a man where you will be wrongdoer? So when he reminded this reference of the Prophet to Zubair bin Awam, he at once remembered that reference and said that, why didn't you remind me before while being in Medina? So I could not have even set out of Medina, and I could not have even come here, because now he remembered that what is reference, the Prophet ﷺ saying he had about him. Although the historians have not sure about this reference, that whether this is the authentic reference of the Ali radiallahu anhu's reminder of Zubair of this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had cautioned Zubair bin Awam that he will fight one day a man and he will be wrongdoer. So this reference of hadith, the people, the historians are not anyway of firm opinion, or they are not. We have a reservation, and they have doubts about this reference. Yet, in history, this reference is there. Whereas this, I would like to add in your notice, still this reference is somehow under questions, and there are still some historians who reserve their position with reference to this this quotation. But another point was that that there is another reference which is quite agreed by the historian as well. What is that? Zubayr bin Awwam radiallahu anhu remembered another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is quite agreed by its authenticity. And that hadith is that the Prophet said about once that a rebel will kill Ammar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that a rebel will kill Ammar. So now Ammar bin Yasir was in the group of Ali radiallahu anhu. That means anyone killing Ammar will be from the group of from the other group, and that other group was actually the group in which Talha and Zubayr were also there and present. So now Zubayr bin Awwam now realized his position, that it is really he felt that he is really at fault, and then he turned back to Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, and clarified his position that he will, and said that I will not fight with Ali radiallahu anhu, and I will not part, and I will not go ahead to battle. And he has reminded me a thing that is what I have remembered now. Aisha radiallahu anha also shared same remembrance in her also record to Zubayr radiallahu anhu. So this way Aisha radiallahu anhu was also now of the opinion not to go for battle, not to go for any dispute or defense or dissension. So now Zubayr bin Awwam radiallahu anhu had already now decided and determined to separate from this all, to separate from this all difference, and separate from this from his and to relinquish his position, or to change his position. And Aisha radiallahu anha was also willing now to change her position as well. As now this is how that the whole development was in progress. Now after the meeting of Ali radiallahu anhu with Zubayr bin Awwam and Talha radiallahu anhuma, and after their realization of their position that they were at wrong in this position, so they changed their position, because they were the pious men of the time. They were among the 10 blessed companions, so they did not insist on their stance or on their position, although they have been on this position right from the day one in Medina, in Makkah, on the way from Makkah to Basra, and now in Basra. But once they were reminded of the truth, they were reminded of the true facts, they were reminded of the references of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, they at once changed their position, particularly the presence of Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu in the force of Ali radiallahu anhu had led them to believe in the come to the satisfaction, to the point of satisfaction, that yes, they have to change their position. And that's at once they changed the position. This was their belief and faith in Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they never delayed for a moment when the truth came evident to them, or when the truth was disclosed to their view, to their eyes. So they at once changed themselves, same as they had done in believing in the Prophet in the society of Makkah, from the idolatry to Islam, when the truth was exposed to them in Makkah. They at once changed themselves and embraced Islam and came into the fold of Islam. Here also they changed their position at once and left their all this thought of going against the caliph in his delay of qisas. Inshallah, we'll continue after a short break the peace process between Ali and Zubair bin Awwam and Talha radiallahu anhu, how it was concluded and what happened the next from the end of the mischief mongers, particularly the leader Abdullah bin Sabah. After a short break, inshallah, we'll come back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.